Learning about spiritual gifts and learning how to utilize your gifts. Need a little bit of help if you have your Bibles with you. Some verses I'm going to need some help with. Thanks, Isaiah. 1 Corinthians 14, 12. Alex, 2 Timothy 1, 6. Deanne, 1 Corinthians 12, 31. And Anna, 1 Corinthians 14, 1. So, we're on week 4, learning to utilize your gifts. Hope you're finding out what your spiritual gifts are. I know some of you have taken the spiritual gifts survey, and I've gotten some of your results back. If you haven't sent those to me, you know, if you get a chance to, please do that. And some of you, have seen, well, we'll get back to this, this video before, but I want you to take a look at someone who discovered his spiritual gift.
Do I play hard?
Yeah.
Do I win? Usually. My name is Charlie Parker. My spiritual gift? Dodgeball. When you ask Michael Jordan how he got to where he is right now, he'd say he practiced, practiced, practiced.
Hey Charlie, somebody called for you.
He might miss my things, but the main thing we practice, and that's what I do, I practice. I practice at work, I practice at school, I practice when people aren't looking and people are looking.
Hey Charlie, I have an office for you. Here, catch.
And that's what makes you unique. The key to being a good dodgeball player is to be agile, like a spider. Alright, that's our team name. One of my moves is called a wing duck. And the conspiracy theory. God gave some people the gift of compassion, some people the gift of love. He gave me the gift of dodgeball, and I'm going to use that in the film, dodgeball. Do outstanding deeds, go everywhere, be Paul. Dodgeball.
Hey, listen, Charlie, man. Lots of paper here. Got a stapler?
Where's that good hit? Not the head, but the heart. Some people and girls don't understand the meaning of competition. I'm not sorry.
Okay, so you can see how happy it makes you when you do discover your spiritual gift or some kind of gift. Over the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at this kind of circle. The concept of spiritual gifts, we use this prism of three colors of ministry by Christian Schwartz to look at it through how God reveals himself to us in three forms, through his Trinity, through his triunity, as creator, as Christ, as spirit, and how we identify with those three areas, connecting with wisdom, commitment, and power. And we looked at whether our starting points are more, you know, in the red or in the green or in the blue or a combination of two. And we went to the starting points of whether we're kind of a Moses or a Jonah or a Martha. And what we want to look towards the center of how God shows himself to the world and through the Trinity, through the triunity of Christ, of God and the Holy Spirit. But it's not God's plan that individual believers reflect his wholeness all by themselves. Not all by themselves. Each of us is only a part of the body of Christ, and we have to be different to be able to complement each other. And if we were all the same, that'd be impossible. But it's God's plan that the body as a whole, his church, would reflect that fullness. That together reflect that fullness. And one of these colors is excluded from a church's life, and maybe an indication that something's out of balance. So if your personal gifts are exclusively in the red area, that doesn't mean that your life's out of balance. It may reflect that it's exactly what God's will is for you. But however, our whole church excludes a certain color, well, then that's kind of a different story. But by identifying the kind of gifts that are predominant in our church, we're going to discover our areas for future growth. And I've been getting some of the results in so far from some of you. some spiritual gift tests. I'm still waiting for a lot more. But once we know where we are, we can determine where we want to go. You know, we can assume that our church is particularly strong or one or two other colors. Well, future growth doesn't mean that we have to leave our areas of strength. It just means we need to add new dimensions to our life and teaching so that our church more fully reflects the triune nature of God. And there could be some things that could be real impediments to that growth. We've all had experience with some kind of Christian, other churches or other Christian groups, and not all those experiences have been positive. You know, we talk about how generally the red area gets reflected a lot by evangelical churches, and the blue area by charismatic, and the green area by what we call liberal churches. And we think of the negative, if you're not part of that group, you probably think of the negative aspects of each of those groups. But, rather than looking at those kind of labels, we should be asking, how can we better reflect His fullness in our church? You know, instead of looking at different churches identifying their limitations, and we say, well, that's kind of not for us. But we still say primary and negative feelings with those terms. We just kind of forget those names. The point is not to imitate other Christian groups, but learn to incorporate different aspects of God's nature and consider what they might mean for the life of our church. As we're going through, the same time we're determining where we are in terms of an individual spiritual gifting, we're also working hard to put together a model or process, a diagram, a plan for carrying out our mission, which is to know Christ, grow in Christ, serve Christ, and share Christ. And this is the first draft of that. We've already moved on from this. That's the one I had on my computer to throw up there. But within that process, the end point of that process is to develop ministry descriptions that incorporate our gifts and talents. And even when we take the test and we see it confirmed by others and the fruit of our ministry, there is still the risk of abusing our gifts. You know, according to the New Testament, each gift is used to build up the body of Christ. In fact, who has 1 Corinthians 14:12?
I do. So it is with you. Since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church.
Okay. Now, unfortunately, this criteria of building up the body of Christ is not always adhered to, which can result in examples of misuse of spiritual gifts. Each and every gift that we've gone through and looked at all these spiritual gifts over the last 3 weeks, each and every gift has the potential to be abused, has the potential to be misused. And that can result in, example, it's not an indictment against the gift, but an indictment against the improper use of the gift. And some of the printouts that have been made, and I'll talk about these in a minute, over here, printouts of all the different spiritual gifts and better descriptions of each one, if you've identified, my gift is in teaching, and you read more about the gift of teaching and how to be trained, get further training in that area. Also, each one comes with like a dangers section, because there's dangers in all of them. You might have the gift of hospitality, and maybe that gift gets exercised to such a degree that family members without that gift kind of suffer, from the having so many, the constant influx of guests. Or somebody has the gift of knowledge. People with that gift can run the risk of developing a proud spirit, because they're typically more knowledgeable than others. Or the gift of counseling. These people can identify and show sympathy towards others, but may also lack necessary directness and firmness to deal with the root problems of what's going on. Or people with the gift of evangelism. People can give the impression of a salesperson seeking to sell their product. And their evangelistic fervor, they can, put undue pressure on the people that they're talking to. Not one of those sheep in the back of your, if you've got one of these, the Great Spiritual Gift Survey, it talks about the liabilities of each one. Like, for example, the gift of faith, the gift of liabilities. Well, you might be impatient when others are more timid or careful. Like, oh, we should just have faith, and don't hold back. Or may tend to be stubborn and unyielding instead of being willing to listen to counsel. We'll just have faith and everything's going to work out right. Well, there's some times where the gifts can get abused. And, of course, each gift, when used properly, can also be used for the building up the kingdom of God. And that's the hope of what was going to happen. However, danger with each and every gift can be the danger of gift projection. Gift projection can be a real danger, and what that means is I don't understand why everybody else doesn't have my spiritual gift. Like, you have the gift of hospitality. You may not understand why others have such difficulty in this area. They may say, well, it's so easy. And to some extent, it is. It's very easy for them to show hospitality. And you simply can't imagine how draining a task it could be for those who don't have that gift. The gift projection, this whole phenomenon, is really prevalent in the area of evangelism. Many Christians with this gift will deny it's even a gift from God. They're just doing what every Christian is expected to do. And saying that they kind of cause those without this gift to have a guilty conscience. The truth is, not every Christian can reach out evangelistically in the way that they do. We are all told to reach out, but some are gifted in that area. I want to show you another quick video about a gift that probably no one would project on anyone else. But if you guys could hit that like.
Well, I'm Tom. This is Todd. This is Tom, and I'm Bobby. And we hunt builders. We get paid by farmers who don't like fancy things.
Shoot, 007 ain't got enough on us. Right, Tom?
Pastor Ron said anything you do well, you do unto the Lord. We should go for them to the Lord. $10 a day. Just enough to pay rent tomorrow. The way we see it, when God says, thou shalt not kill, he's talking about people. Because Peter killed a lot of fish.
To get to go for, you gotta be all stale flat.
Don't let them know you're coming, because they're gonna run. Unless you make them do one of them. Of course, I don't understand what he meant by the whole fisher's a man thing. So I mean, Tom don't swim.
You ever been a kid and been in a supermarket and gotten lost? And you're trying to find your mom? And you finally look and find her. And it turned out to be some other lady.
Yes, it was just a bug that time.
This is their supermarket.
You gotta make them think you're their mom. And then they get close.
Dead. Gopher. Go plan happen. Eternal results. Gopher. Sort of a spiritual guy thing when he's here in the field.
Snake!
Only difference between shooting the baby as opposed to shooting an adult is that the meat is cooking.
Process as you go through is that you train your gifts. Now, even though that God has given you certain gifts, it doesn't mean there isn't more room for improvement in those areas. In fact, you should make every effort to train the gifts so they can be used to their fullest potential. 2 Timothy 1:6.
For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands.
So maybe you're going to fan your gift into flame by, you know, going to seminars that equip you. You can gain further experience in a gift area. You can learn from constructive criticism of others. You need to allow God to constantly shape and change you. When I discovered I had the gift of teaching, I spent a lot of time training in that area. And I'm still conscious of how much I still have to learn in this whole area of teaching. I like to listen to Christians who have this gift to a far greater degree than I do. I appreciate it when others can offer a realistic critique of my teaching or preaching. I also pray they'll be able to communicate truths about spiritual truths in understandable ways. And I hope in 10 years I'm going to be able to exercise my gift better than I do today. You know, the idea here is like that Lowe's commercial, you know, never stop improving. You know, always with our spiritual gifts, there's never an end point there, at least not on this side of heaven. And the last thing, finally, is to remain open to additional gifts. It'd be misleading to view the discovery of your gifts as a process that just stays at, you know, one ends at a certain point in time and remains static for all eternity. And there's different schools of thought on this. Some theologians would say that all the spiritual gifts you're going to have, you get at the moment of your conversion. And then after that, the issue becomes merely the discovery of these gifts. Others would say that God can give us new gifts which we don't previously possess. And according to that line of thought, it's not a matter of discovering gifts, but rather receiving them. Either way you look at it, it doesn't really matter, but either way, the important point is that we don't view our giftedness as always staying the same. We remain open to new discoveries. In fact, Paul encourages Christians to eagerly desire gifts. That's 1 Corinthians 12:31.
But eagerly desire the greater gifts.
Okay. And then also in 1 Corinthians 14:1.
Bow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy.
And when church recognizes that the gifts that are being used in the church are lacking in an area that's really needed, we need to pray that God will bless those involved with ministry with new gifts, or to send new workers who possess the gifts that are lacking and needed. Now, I know that all that we've gone through over the last 4 weeks sometimes can seem a little complicated, so I did find this. It's a little simple test. Craig Rochelle, if you've heard of Church TV, the pastor of that, he came up with this, the apple pie demonstration. Here's how he explained it. See how you identify with this. Imagine you're at a table with a bunch of people, and there's someone about to eat an apple pie. And their apple pie is at the edge of the table, about to fall off. You see that they're vulnerable, and yet they put their fork in their apple pie and it flops into their lap. What do you do? What you do next helps determine possibly what your gift is. So try and think in your head in that situation. Apple pie on the edge. And you already know, right? You're laughing about it. Okay, you put your fork and it flips on that person, and you start thinking, okay, what would you do? How many of you would say, now I almost told you that was about to happen, you idiot. You shouldn't have done that. I saw it coming. How many of you would do that? Or just point to the person next to you and say, would do that? Okay. If you do that, well, maybe you have the gift of prophecy there. How many of you on the other hand would say, oh man, let me help you clean that up, here's a napkin, let me wipe you up here, let's see you taken care of. How many of you like that? Okay, all right, then you have the gift of serving, and this is a spiritual gift. Some of you might say, oh, I've researched this, and there's really a better way to eat apple pie. Step one is you do this, point to the people here, gift of teaching, maybe, right around you. Some of you might say, I feel for you. I know that happened to me one time. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Watch this and throw some on yourself to make you feel better. Anybody here? That's you. Probably have a gift of encouragement. If you're going to say, oh, here, take mine. In fact, bring the apple pies for everybody with whipped cream on it. Then, if you'll be doing that, you have the gift of giving. Those of you would say, well, we can get this thing cleaned up in no time. You go get this, you go get this, and I have a vision to go make this better. Maybe you have the gift of leadership. Those of you might say, oh, my heart just sinks. When it was falling in your lap, I was hurting for you and with you, and I'm just so devastated you're going through this right now. If you're saying that, maybe you have the spiritual gift of mercy or showing kindness. And it goes on and on from there. But, so if that helps you go to the apple pie demonstration, then do. Otherwise, take the test, the survey, get outside confirmation. I should say, when I ask them, shouldn't ask them, well, what are your spiritual gifts when you go through this, but rather say, what are the results of your survey you took? Because this is just one piece. There's the outside confirmation there from others. There is the showing of fruit within the ministry that shows that this might be a gift area for you. And see where that bears fruit. Rhonda, we were talking this last week. It never really clicked with me, and I don't know if it clicked with her, that she had the gift of missionary. And it was her highest score, and when we look back, we're talking over the areas where, at least very much vocally and interested when we were doing things internationally, and whether it's putting together shoeboxes to send far away, or just local ministry and missions, that it clicked. Boy, that is, Now I'm thinking, boy, how can we fan that into flame? Others I can't see. You know, Sarah Osley was sharing me with her gifts. She said that a lot of her gift results fell into the supporting spiritual gifts area. Of course, 2 days before she made that realization, she was asking me, you know, how can I help you? Is there anything I can do to help you take something off your plate, make things easier? And, you know, other times you can see it so clearly. And I want more and more people to discover their gifts. When you find out your gifts, like they do, and if you've already gone through this process, and you've gone through and you think you've got an idea of 2-3 areas of your gifts, I'm going to come over here, and I made copies of all the gifts listed in the 3 colors of ministry, and the kind of descriptions for each one. They're kind of alphabetical by color, by green, red, and blue gifts. One thing that and it talks to you about, you know, how you can train your gift and so it doesn't just stay static. One thing, there's a difference between a little bit between, you know, these different words that's in here than in here. So if your spiritual gift in here is exhortation, just know when you get over there, you'd be looking more for where it says encouragement or possibly counseling. As it says in here, pastoring, that's a question over there, shepherding or also possibly counseling. And this one says administration, this one says organization. This one says singleness, that one refers to it as celibacy. This refers to deliverance, that one's exorcism. Or this one says intercession, that one says prayer. So the labels might not all be the same. And actually, this one doesn't even list some that are over there, like artistic creativity, craftsmanship, and music. And you probably know if you have some of those things. I mean, nothing, no test I could fill out is going to make me think that I'm an artist. You know, I mean, I just know that I'm not. And some of you just know that you naturally are. So you can pick up the papers on those. There's only the one that's over there that isn't in this one at all. It's called the gift of suffering. And that might be someone who's, you know, intercessory for prayer or foreign missions or doing a pioneer ministry. It's not really to be confused with the difference between a martyr and a martyr complex. You know, a lot of us want to say, well, I think they're suffering because it's woe is me all the time. But God endows certain Christians with a special ability to maintain a victorious mindset, even in the midst of intense suffering. And I've seen pastor friends that seem to have this. You know, they're going through things and I'm like, wow, I think that would just, they'd be crushed by that. And they still have this victorious attitude that has strengthened my faith. Charlie, if you would like to come back up front, we're going to be singing this last song, and I want us to pray as we sing, because the words are the concepts of the Lord's Prayer. And the words aren't exactly the same, but Jesus didn't say what we should pray. He says how we should pray. So the concepts of it are what's important. So let's pray and sing this together.